I love a saying of Hafiz, the mystic. He says, the subject today is love. And every day. And that is the right way. The way is love. My way is love. And that is the only religion. You can talk about truth, enlightened man. But love it's much more beautiful. Truth you can argue about, but love, how can you argue? Either it's there or it's not there. Love is human and it's divine. So it's the link. If there is no connection through the heart, through love, you can't rise. First, you have to become human, from the animal, from the unconscious instincts, to be human. Then that humanness can be purified. True understanding, sensitivity, humbleness, dedication, meditation, and it can rise into the divine self. The heart is the meeting place. Jesus said, be love, teach love. For love is all there is. So simple, but how many things you think there are? How many things you are occupied with? The truth is simple. So become simple and it's easy. Become ordinary and it's easy. So it has to be a willingness to become a nobody. Somebody's have problems. Nobody has no problems. If you have nobody, then there is love. Only nobodies get lost in love. Then nobodies, you are love. Yes, somebody, maybe sometimes you feel, not feel, coming, going. Steadiness is absolutely important. And love is so misused in this world that it's very difficult to talk about it. Love goes beyond any opinions any dogmas, any idea. It means that all dogmas, ideas, opinions have to go. And that's why if people are only in the mind, which where most people are, then they never connect to love, to the heart. Because it's a different dimension. It's beyond thinking. It's knowing, seeing, feeling. People can think and think and read and read and study and study. But for what? What you are seeking is already there. It's not a question of learning more. It is to unburden yourself from all that you have, all the unnecessary that you are carrying. That is the whole homework. That is the price to pay to come into the temple of love. It is not enough to pray or take off your shoes. No, you have to be pure. And humbleness is the beginning of that purity. And in this world, who is humble? Who is receptive? Who is dedicated? Very few people. And that's why everybody wants love, everybody wants peace, everybody wants happiness. But they never get to it because so many things that is occupying you your whole life. And then another life went down the drain. Now you are here listening, wake up, use the opportunity. Beloved, the heart, the talking about the chakras and this map, that belongs more to the earth, to the physical, to the unconscious that you have come in with, which most people are functioning in their whole life. When that is understood, and you are ready to rise, when you are ready not to be a slave of your own mind, of your own desires, of your own dreams, then you have to study yourself, understand, and unburden yourself so you can rise into the peace of the heart. There you will see for the first time how things are. Because there you are unburdened. That's the only way to be in the heart. When you are unburdened. When you are empty. Then you can see things clearly as they are. Then there is no doubt. Then for the first time you see. Up to now you never really knew. Is it true or is it not? Now you start trusting something deeper than the mind. And that is what the masters always has gone on reminding you. Come back to the heart. Listen to something deeper than your mind. have the courage to go further. Don't give up. I know it's difficult. I know you hurt yourself again. But it's okay. You're going in the right direction. Move on. Move on. Then, when you are settling more in your heart, in meditation, in the truth, then there is also trust. Trust and love comes together. Of course. You are ready to do crazy things in the name of love. You can leave anything. If love is there, you are ready to leave anything. And there is the trust that love itself will take care of you. You're moving into a totally different dimension of being, which doesn't care so much about the material, physical things. You have tasted something else beyond the physical. Otherwise, love is just misused in this world. They use love for everything. I love my car. I love my pants. I love my cat. I love ice cream. I love my country. I love the Queen. I love the army. I love my religion. I like that woman. I like that man. That has nothing to do with love. Liking has nothing to do with love. All likings are gone in love, because love takes over. It's not like or dislike, it is. It's incomparable. You have nothing to compare it to, because it's total. If it's things, you can compare. But this doesn't belong to the dimension of things. It's much deeper. And that's again why you can leave things. You can leave things for something that nobody have ever seen, nobody have ever touched, but it's there. It's very mysterious. You start trusting something deeper than your reason. That means you start going beyond the mind. You can do unreasonable things, like letting go of a very good job, moving out from a very good house, leaving your country. These things doesn't matter anymore. And the more you are connected with your spirit, the more effortless it is. And truth is effortless, because it's natural. You can do it. You can practice it. It happens. And be very happy if it happens. If you can understand what we're talking about. In India, they say in the fourth chakra, that's where the sound Aum you hear from the first time. Because Anahata, the fourth chakra, is the peaceful, is harmony. And for the first time, you hear something that is so sweet, but it has nothing to do with sugar. It's such a sweet music, but this has nothing to do with music. It's so restful, but it has nothing to do with sleep. They say that is the Aum, the soundless sound, the sound of the universe. That means now you start coming back to the source. Now your lower energies, your unconscious energies, start relaxing. They start losing the battle. All the conflict, the mind, the doing, the restless thoughts, they start slowing down. They start losing the grip. More and more you can just be. You can just relax. You can just start seeing in a new way. Still, of course, be alert, because the possibility is still to fall back. And remember, it's easier to fall back than to rise. Because now you're going into a totally different area. Now you need the sword of awareness, the light of awareness. A courageous heart, truth, meditation. That is what you need now to rise higher. It's easier to fall backward, and many people do, because that is gravity. It pulls you down, it's the earth. It's effortless. Unconscious, you will fall down. That's where you come from. And if it gets very unknown on the spiritual journey, then it's very easy to stop also. And go back to the known. Again, that's why a guide is so much needed, who can again and again remind you. Who can again and again hit you. In the Zen monasteries, everybody knows that many of these Zen masters, they had a stick to hit the disciples when they start spacing out. I have given up that because I would be so busy. But that is also a technique. All masters find different techniques. And I think it got overused, because you have to get very alert. Both the disciple and the master has to be very in tune to use a physical hit. But in meditation, everybody knows about it. When you sit meditating and then maybe the master is coming, sometimes boom, 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 he's walking and you don't know who he's hitting. And sometimes he's the quiet type who just sneaks in on you and suddenly, poof, you get the hit and then you wake up. And some other masters, they hit them very violently so they get big bulge on the head. Even not in the sitting, but in the middle of the kitchen or in the garden, they just get a good wank. But I think that this got a little bit misused, because they have to be very alert. And it's not a hit, it's a stick of awareness. So if you are not insider, if there is no understanding, if you're not a meditator, then it looks like a hit. That's what the world knows it for, a Zen hit. But it's not the hit, because the master is trying in every way to make you alert. To hit you out of your sleepiness. So the disciple is very grateful to get the hit. If the disciple is not on that level that he understands the hit, that the master can be allowed to do whatever because there is trust, then these methods is totally useless, because it goes to the ego. And the ego gets hurt. But consciousness wakes up. This is the difference. So if you connect it with the ego, then it hurts. If you are more connected with consciousness, with your truth, with your heart, with your love for the master, then you are happy. But now, it's not so easy to get to that stage. In the old days, people were more simple, because they didn't live so much in the head. When Lao Tzu and Buddha and all these nice people were, it was a very quiet times on the planet. And people were much more sensitive, much more quiet. They lived much more in their feelings than their head. No, people live in their heads. Human beings never been so far away from themselves. No, it's the last. They are hardly in touch with themselves. Then those methods doesn't work much. But in the old days, if you are in the feelings, in the connection to the master, then you understand. And all that has to do with the heart. Because the heart has a different understanding. And if there is trust and love, only then you understand this mystery of master discipleship. Because if there is no understanding about love, about trust, if that has never touched your life, you cannot understand it. And that's why in the West they don't understand it. Because they have never felt it. You have to be sensitive. You have to have a heart. Only lovers understand love. You can talk about love and trust to someone who have never felt it. It's just abstract idea. That's where really discipleship, sannyas, starts. No, you start understanding what it's more all about. No, you start understanding this game. No, you understand more what is all that the master wants to show you. No, you don't have your own arguments and mind and opinions. No, you start being available. That can never happen before in the heart. Up to then, it's just fight, struggle, conflict. Still it will be a struggle, but on a totally different level. Now you know your mission. Now it's more to be alert of the old mind coming in and trying to corrupt you. No, before it was more a struggle against the other, protecting your ego. No, it's more a struggle against your own unconsciousness. Then everything changed. No, you start working with the master. Before, unconsciously, yes, you were with, but So the heart is the bridge from the lower to the higher. The subject today is love. And for every day, for the rest of my life. If you want to study something else, get lost. This is a very simple school, only in that subject. That's why you don't need to be very intelligent here. It's not like we have many different subjects. Even people who are not so intelligent, they can easily follow. As long as they have a heart. It all depends on the heart. The head wants to study so many things, in so many ways. And you get more and more confused. First you study mathematics, and now you're studying spirituality. It's the same thing. Only when you had enough. No, I want to stop. No, I want peace. And nobody has found the peace in the book. The word peace, it doesn't help you much. You can put it all over the walls, peace, peace, peace. But it doesn't help much. Only understanding helps.
What a blessing of light. What a lucky find. Ending of the search, stopping of my mind, and I expect changes to keep
You must have seen the Indian women. They have this sticker, this mark between their eyes. And that is just an old sign. Most probably they have forgotten it now because they have forgotten everything. But it comes from just your keeping your attention on your third eye. I remembered because this is one of the meditations that helps to raise the energy. No, not some physical meditation, not about grounding. No, it's about rising. Then this kind of meditation can be helpful. Have you focus more on the third eye And that is the meaning of this mark you have here that the Indian women still have. It's also very beautiful, but that is the whole thing, to keep the attention so the energy doesn't go down. They are all the time reminded that it should rise to the higher self. Because energy is energy. Unconsciously, it goes down, gravity. Then it becomes sexual, then it becomes unconscious. If it rises, it becomes love, it becomes peace, it becomes prayerfulness. This is the two way. And in the heart, for the first time, you can start seeing that. Where you direct the energy. And this comes from the distant past, and then people were much more simple. They were already in their heart. So it was a reminder that the energy, always remember, let the energy rise. And still, the women in the East, they have a special beauty. They're very innocent. The Indian woman, she still have her big saris, very colorful. Of course, not in the city. But she has this feminine beauty. In the West, more and more women becomes more like men. You have to remember the feminine. Humming, Nada Brahma, prayer, visualization, third eye meditation. These are meditation that helps the energy to rise. But if the physical is too restless, unruly, then it's very difficult. That's why you have to see, this is very scientific way we're talking about. Yes, wow, what a beautiful game, but how to play it? A seed has been planted, but how to nurture it? I discovered by listening to your CD about enlightenment that it's all about coziness. How nice. Cozy has always been my favorite word, condition. So easy, not so serious. You also mentioned practice and surrendering. What kind of practice? It's a pity we don't live like many years ago anymore. I would just knock on the door of your hut in the forest and stay for learning and sweeping the floor. Guide me, teach me, my heart is open. From here, you take the teacher's hand, you said. Yesterday, I was walking through the forest and I couldn't stop giggling and laughing. I'm free. What a joke. My mind can make so much noise as it wants, but it doesn't matter in my essence. But still, I do feel I need to be careful. Who is saying I'm free? I is still trying to make a concept out of this, is still trying to get attention. You talked about glimpses on your CD, and I would be a fool not to take care. The habits of the mind are old, but my heart feels young and strong. Please take my hand. In love, really. What a beautiful game, but how to play it? A seed has been planted, but how to nurture it? you are in the right place where you nurture it. And by some mysterious way, you're going to be here the whole summer. So something in you must have known that now is the time to nurture it. Where can I find the right gardener? The right soil. That is how you nurture it. What a beautiful game. Yes, it is beautiful. It is the most beautiful and is the ultimate game. And it is the last game. That's why your total attention has to get into it. The master game. After that, no more games. It's a beautiful game. Nothing can compare to it. I discovered by listening to your CD about enlightenment that it's all about coziness. How nice. Cozy has always been my favorite word, condition. So easy, not so serious. I said cozy? Why not? Enlightenment is everything. Cozy must be a good try to express that which cannot be expressed. People have tried everything. Then maybe I was the first one. I tried with cozy. At least you liked it. You understand something. Very good. You must belong to the cozy family. Many people, they talk about all esoteric things, and then many heads get interested. I try to keep it very down to earth, very ordinary. I don't want just heads, I want hearts. And the heart understands cozy, no? Cozy, very nice. And I'm talking to the heart. The mind doesn't understand so much cozy. What, cozy? Ooh. That's almost a little bit scary for the mind, for the ego, to be cozy. It means you have to relax a little bit, to be cozy. Not many people are cozy. And it's true, enlightenment is the ultimate coziness. So if you already like cozy, you've always been your favorite word, then you know where you're heading, babe. It's the ultimate coziness. It's so easy, not so serious. Yes, that is my whole teaching also. It's not so, because people have been so serious. And I did not find it by being serious. I don't know what other people have done, but that is my truth. I can only share my truth. And it's very cozy and it's not serious. And it's easy. And if it's difficult, then please become a little more easy. Become a little more non-serious. Then you will start understanding me. And that is the whole thing, to be in satsang, to be a disciple, is to more and more fall in tune with the Beloved, with the Master. Then you understand. And if you understand the language to the Master, to the Guru, you are very lucky. Many people don't understand. If you click with his or her language, you are very lucky. And you understand my language now, you understand my words. A very good sign. Here you don't get any esoteric teaching. You only get some giggles and some coziness. Yes, Amit? Okay. You also mentioned practice and surrendering. What kind of practice? Practice in coziness. Practice in relaxation. And how can you practice that? That is my koan. But you're doing very good, walking in the forest, laughing, being happy. Then all the trees will help you, they will remind you. You see that the wind comes, they all go tiggly, they feel very, look how cozy they look, all the trees. Only human beings look very sad, and it's, I have such a hard time to understand. Human beings are the top of the creation, and they look like hangdogs. How come just the innocent tree is so cozy, everything is nice? The whole planet is round, all the planets is round and nice, and only man is square. What happened? Satsang is to get the hard corners out to make that square man round again. That's the whole thing I'm doing, trying to get the squares into round balls again. Then they're cozy. And it's possible. But they have forgotten. Very hard edges, square, then you have to soften in different ways. Tickle them, tell some jokes, meditation, dynamic, all this. And then slowly, slowly, when they don't know, then you push in the corners. In the beginning, they come out again. I push them in. And then just old habit, it goes out. Then I try, sometimes in the night also I come and I work. And I press in. Even take tape on, if some I have really compassion for. I see your potential. Then maybe I do something, I come and help. So if you find that you have bandage or tape, don't take it, is for a reason. Maybe you don't understand it now, but trust, that's where trust comes in. You also mention practice and surrendering. And this thing, surrendering, also is very misunderstood in the West. Because people are only egoists. Yeah, egoists, they don't understand surrendering because the ego is fighting. Surrendering means defeat for the ego. In this game, surrender means victory. Just the opposite. For the ego, it means defeat. With the master, surrender means victory. Because it means you are finished with the old. You surrender to the self. That means victory. So, the defeat for the ego, that means, again, you are in the ego then. But the ego, the mind, doesn't understand that. Because it only understands fighting. So this whole dimension about the devotion, surrender, master, disciple, is way, way, way beyond its capacity to understand. Only the heart, only a spiritual, when your spiritual dimension starts opening, can you understand these things. Then you see this surrender is not a surrender, it's a victory. It's standing up to the old. No, I want to learn new ways. And the master is just somebody who reminds you. Don't go back to sleep. Remember that decision you took. That is what sannyas is. It's a decision. No, it's enough now. I don't want to go back to sleep. No, I can see. For the first time, I can see. Please, don't let me go back to blindness again. And if this is clear, then it's very beautiful. So that is the whole surrender. You say, it's a pity we don't live so many years ago in the past. It would I would just knock on the door of your hut in the forest and stay for learning and sweeping the floor. Yes. It is a side in me, I would also like that, but the house would be very full. And the hut also, even more full, because the hut is very small floor. I had a little hut in India. One time I didn't even have a roof in there, when it was only in the monsoon I had roof. When there was no monsoon, then I took down the roof. Because it, in India it's like that, it doesn't rain for 6 months. So why have a roof then? You can sleep and see the starry night. And then I had the floor, which I had made of cow shit. Cow shit they use, it just like becomes like cement. That's what they use in the villages in India. And it has a, some kind of chemical, organic chemical, this cow dung, that the ants doesn't like it, and the small doo-doos doesn't like it. So it's the best you can use. And every morning I was sweeping, I was amazed that the ants, they were all outside that circle. And there were one few idiots that managed to come in. Because there's always some that doesn't know, no? Even ants. It's not only human beings, but some ants also. They go places they shouldn't go. But after some days, then they got it. You just don't give up. You have to put them straight. Every morning you sweep them out. And then sooner or later they get it. And that's what the master says, don't give up. Sweep out again and again. Guide me, teach me, my heart is open. From here you take the teacher's hand, you said. Yes, sometimes I even take your hand. That means then the master really loves you then. You see that something is possible. Or maybe an old connection, then in some mysterious way he will take your hand then. Yesterday I was walking through the forest and I couldn't stop giggling and laughing. I'm free. What a joke. My mind can make so much noise as it wants, but it doesn't matter in my essence. Yes, that is what is important to remember. It doesn't matter in the essence, because the mind is not your essence. It doesn't matter how much the mind is making noise and doing all kinds of acrobatics. Look at me. Come with me. No, you laugh at it. That is the best medicine. And that is definitely one of my practices, my meditation, laugh of it. Because people, and the mind feels very serious. The ego is very serious. The worst thing you can do to a serious person is to laugh of it. Then they feel very embarrassed. Very, very embarrassed. If they are very serious and pumped up and you start laughing, they don't know. And the good thing with the ego that is not physical, it's just like a ghost. So it can't hit you. Some people, otherwise, they can hit you. Be careful, don't laugh at serious people because they might hit you. You don't know, human beings, they are strange. But the ego, it can't hit. It will just start going a different way. She's laughing of me. She's been listening to me for so long. Oh my God, what is happening? Get away from satsang. So I can take over again. That's what it says. Just the other day, one nice couple, they had to escape. It was the man, most of the time man, more mind, no? The woman, she is like listening more to the heart, a little more. The mind, the man, he is more he had problems, they had relationship problems, and then they had to escape, no, the man had to escape. They had to go home and deal with it. Why not deal with it? You think you can deal with it at home? You've been married 20 years, you have never dealt with it. No, you are here, deal with it. No, no, no. Too much. And I've told you, everything will come up here. You have to look at everything till there's nothing more. Then you can relax. Be happy when things are coming up. That means something should be looked at. No, pack the bags and run away. Some people say, oh, last time everything was just so blissful and so loving. I was just blissed out the whole time. And this time, so much is happening. It's been so intense. I don't know. Yes, you're going deeper now. It's becoming more real. Honeymoon is finished. Hold on to my hand. This is where the trust is. And everything will come up, but be happy, because then it will go also. This is the courage I'm talking about. Courage to just go on. That is what the master, he will take your hand and then he will take you deep, deep, deep into the forest. And then when the night comes, then he said, just wait, I will fetch some wood. But I'm afraid of the dark, you say. Yeah, yeah, but soon the fire will be here, everything will be fine. And then he disappears. Darkness comes, then you're very afraid, then your trust is tested. Then the master is sitting up in the tree looking. How will she respond to the situation, no? Then if, oh, this fucking master left me in the forest, I can't even trust my mom. How can she do that with me? And then if you just sit there, okay, then suddenly come and very happy. Come to my hut even. Then you have to get tested. This is the life, is the one that will test you. But still, I do feel I need to be careful. Who is saying I'm free? Yes, very good. You have to be careful. Because before, it was somebody saying, I'm not free. No, somebody saying, I am free. It's the same bugger. The same fucking bugger. If you are free, you don't even, as nobody say, you don't know you are free. You are so free, you don't know you are free. Because it's never, it's nothing to compare it to. It's beyond not free and being a slave. I had no idea what happened. No idea. Because it's totally new. But luckily, I had been with my master so long that this was in me. Maybe slowly, slowly. This is what he was talking about all these years. Still, I didn't understand. But then existence brought me into other mystics. Papaji, Giridhara. Then Papaji, he was very happy. He recognized straight away. I had nothing to ask him, and he said, you come to my house. I didn't ask him. He said, you come to my house, come for lunch. Okay. He must have known, I have to clarify something with this nice man. He doesn't seem like he knows what has happened. That's how it is. I was not free. I was not bound. I didn't know. So this is This is the thing, this is the practice, just to be with someone who is steady. That is satsang. That is how it is to be with the master. Then it's levels and levels how to be in satsang, how to be with the master. No, then you become steady, because then you understand. Then you trust it more. That is the only practice. It's beyond any practice. It's not practice. It's just to be here. And slowly, slowly, it's settling. Slowly, slowly, you understand more and more. There is nothing to do. It happens by itself. You also talked about glimpses on your CD, and I would be a fool not to take care. The habits of the mind are so old, but my heart feels young and strong. Yeah, the habits of the mind are very old, very ancient, and very, very powerful. And that's why it's very important to be on guard, be alert, and laugh about it, and remember, I don't want to go with you anymore. I have found new friends now. You brought me only misery. No, I had enough. That's why it's good to know that this is a new beginning, but be aware. The habits of the mind are old, but my heart feels young and strong. Yes, and that will be your new friend now. Leave the old zombies and find the fresh and the new. Please take my hand in love, Vele. Okay. That is what sannyas is all about. That is a decision. No, I want to walk with you. That is what sannyas is all about. No, I tried alone. Still, I've been lost. No, I found a place. No, enough now. That is what sannyas is all about. That is discipleship. No, enough. Please take my hand. They have a beautiful old song. You will remember more and more. They said, I tried everything. I've been in mantras, tantras, yogas, mantras. Nothing brought me freedom. Nothing brought me peace. No, my master, please, just hold my hand. I just want to stop. That is what they call guru yoga. It's the ultimate yoga. When you finish with all yogas, then you come to guru yoga. Then you find somebody who's alive. Then nothing to do then. There's no books anymore. You just sit and enjoy, get settled. That's what they always said. No, nothing to do. And still, if we do something, we dance and we laugh and we scream just to have something to do, no? Eat also we do here. Eat, sleep and everything, go for walk. You know the 10 paintings in the main house about a man chasing the ox? Yes, I do know them. My dear Verle, I know the 10 paintings. I think I reached number 4, catching the ox. So exciting. 4 down, 6 to go. Yes. But don't think about anybody down or anywhere to go. Just enjoy the moment. And this send for 10 ox, that is same as the chakras, just in another way. They have hundreds of different ways to explain the journey. And that is the Zen way, and it's very beautiful. Because the ox, what is the ox? It's your vital energy. It's your own heart. And it's lost. It's lost. You just see it sometimes, and only in In the beginning you don't even see it, and then you get very attracted. Then you start following the ox in the forest. And then in some mysterious way you go against your fear, and you even try to catch the ox. That is the whole journey. You have to go against your fear. The ox can kill you. Then you try to catch it. That is courage. But when you catch it, you can become friend with the ox. And if that's where you are, you have caught the ox now. No, don't do anything. The ox is much more powerful. Get in tune with the ox. That's exactly where you are. Stop. There is nothing to do. Start learning the ways of the ox. Then you will become friends with the ox. And when you become friends with the ox will love you. Then you can ride the ox, just like Lao Tzu. He rode the ox, no? The water buffalo. I have a big horse. He's very gentle. I don't need any saddle or anything. He totally trusts. We love each other. He just goes, no problem. That's how it is. When there is trust, when you know it's nothing to be afraid, this being loves me, then it relaxes. Everybody relaxes then. We become like small kittens. So the ox, I will read you some from the ox. That number 4. I seized him with a terrific struggle. His great will and power are inexhaustible. He charges to the high plateau, far, far above the cloud mists, or deep into the impenetrable ravine he stands. I seized him with a terrific struggle. That struggle is your whole past. To leave the safety of your village. To go and follow this. What is it that pulled somebody towards this ox? This wild ox. Not everybody is interested in the ox. They are too busy in the village. But only a few people, they run into the jungle after the ox. And even less people manage to come close to catch it. I seized him with a terrific struggle. No, I left everything. I dared. Now I have seized him. But what can you do? You can't do anything. No, you haven't. You know it's real. That's where you are. You are here in satsang now. You know it's real. Know what you're going to do. I seized him. By some mysterious way, you come close. Now you see. It's real. It's not just a ghost. Now the only thing is to get in tune. To learn new ways. To find the connection. Then even the ox will become your friend. Then even the master will become your friend. That is what the Zen people talk about. His great will and power are inexhaustible. Yes, how can you struggle with him? Now you have seen that it's much more energy than you have ever expected. It's something that you have no idea about. The only thing is to surrender to him, to become his friend. That's the only way you're going to learn the ways. Because his powers are inexhaustible. He charges to the high plateau, far, far above the cloud mists. It means you have to be ready. You have to be ready to go high, 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 high. Even through the fog, you don't even know where you are going. And then above the mist, the mountain peak comes up. There again you can see. But there is where nobody goes. very few people goes up there, but you have to be ready to go there, because that is where he goes. Or in a deep, impenetrable ravine he stands, even somewhere where it's not possible to go. Deep, deep in the ravine. How will I manage to go down there? That is the challenge. If you really want, you can manage. The ox is down there. The master is down there. Then you can. That is how it is. Then he always challenges you. Come. I did it, so can you. These oxes are very strange. Understand, even the ox language, no? These sand people are very strange. They understand the ox language. That is the practice, no? Get friends with the ox. No, you have seized him. Only a fool start fighting with the ox, no? Then you will be dead. What can you do? Huh? Trying to hold down the elephant? No, that's just stupid. Become friend with the elephant, then it takes the trunk and it lifts you up. Lifts you up like that. I have felt that. He takes like an arm, like, come, and he puts you up like that. Huh? Then you have to be friend. He doesn't do that if you want to fight with him. I'm a human being, you just an elephant, and he'll... Arrogance is not allowed there. It's just stupid. Arrogance, humbleness is what helps. Sensitivity, love, that is what helps. Here we have no practice or rules. It's just to be a slowly, slowly. Rumi have this saying, "Oh friends, even if you don't understand what is happening here, just stay. Give it a chance." And nobody can stay without slowly, slowly start understanding. It's impossible. The only way not to understand is to escape. And I'm very happy because many people they understand something happens without any practice. Who knows what it is? Who knows what happens, but it is happening. That is how love is, how trust is. Rumi says, "Walking in the garden with my lover, I was distracted by a rose. My love scolded me, saying, 'How could you look at the rose with my face so close?'" Love can be very hard sometimes, but it's just reminding you. How could you look at the rose with my face so close? These strange people, these Sufis, no? My beloved Master, for some time now, I have been feeling so grateful for one of the million things that I'm learning from you, and I would like to share about it. When I close my eyes now, I found out that I love myself. This is the greatest, is one of the greatest gifts you gave me. To rest, to meet this one inside and feel that I can love this one and be gracefully satisfied with it. I don't need to go anywhere else looking for beauty or comparing with the outside. You gave me this gift inside. Tears roll down for this divine seeing, divine being that I want so much to accept more and more. Everyone is unique. I want to love myself. I'm learning so much all the time. I'm also so very glad to be more involved in all the beauty around you. My beloved, thank you so much. More and more, yours, Yogita. Where's Yogita? That is what's happening, no? Millions of things are happening. Do you see, Verla? Verla is millions of things, nice things happen. This is the greatest thing. Love yourself. And you can only love yourself when you are beautiful. It's impossible to love yourself when you're ugly. You don't love ugly things, do you? You don't love a garbage dump, do you? No, you love flowers. So this is how it is. When you become more beautiful, then in spite of yourself, you feel peace. You who never felt peace, you start feeling peace. You start feeling beautiful. Because some beauty is there inside, which you have forgotten. In Yogita, you were close to dying. That also helped. It took away all these unnecessary things. Now you can again enjoy. Just love. That's how love is, and that is how death is also. It takes away all the unnecessary things. Only the real is left. Let's come here, Yogita. You're lucky, yeah? You were worried, no, when you had all this cancer thing, no? PR, no? How is the body now?
Better and better.
Yeah, better and better. Yeah, and the heart?
Better and better.
Yeah.
Myself.